Our second week of our new series called Change Your Mind, Change Your Life. And this new series is all about the power of the mind. In part one of this series last week, Carrie talked to us about how undervalued and underestimated the power of the mind is in our society, and how we typically place more value on the physical attributes or abilities of a person than we do on their intellect or their ability to think. If you think I'm wrong, just take a look at some of the posters that most teenagers plaster their walls with. Or the various... It might take a minute to soak in. It's my favorite New Kid on the Block, however, in the back row. Yeah, or, you know, we can look at what's plastered on our walls, or the various salary amounts that the different professions receive, you know? In both of those areas, I believe that you'll find that those people who are gifted with looks or talents or athletic abilities far exceeds those people who have a highly developed sense of intellect. In fact, I think it's even fair to say that a majority of our culture worships those abilities or the people that have them. Now, in many respects, those two issues are connected like two sides of one coin: the elevation of physical attributes and the downplaying of our intellectual abilities. But for the purpose of this series, we're going to be focusing only on the power of our minds. You see, I don't think we fully embrace how powerful God has created our minds to be. Let me give you an example of what I mean. I believe typically we think things like our circumstances, or our pasts, our hurts, and even our enemy, the devil, have more influence and control over our lives than our own minds do. And what I mean by that is we mistakenly believe that all those things on that blue side control our identity, who we are. We think those things control our abilities, what we can do and sometimes what we can't do. We think those things control our expectations, what we should accept from other people and what we should expect from other people. And we think it controls our actions, the way we live our lives. And while it's true that all of those things do influence us to some degree, the amount to which they influence us and the ways in which they influence us is not decided by those things. It's decided by our minds. In other words, they only have as much power or control over us as we allow them to have. And the way we allow them to have power or control in our lives is by believing them to be true. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." And it really doesn't matter whether those thoughts are positive or negative, and it doesn't even matter if those thoughts are true or false. We will become what we believe. You know, in her book, in Joyce Meyer's book, The Battlefield of the Mind, she tells the story of a young man named John. And as John was growing up, he suffered a lot of abuse from his mother. A lot of verbal abuse. She was a domineering woman with a sharp tongue. And she frequently said hurtful things to him like, "John, you're such a mess. You're never going to amount to anything." John tried hard to please his mother because he craved her approval like all children do. But the harder he tried, the more mistakes he made. He had a habit of being clumsy, so his mother told him all the time what a klutz he was. Of course, he dropped things because he was trying so hard to please her, and that made him so nervous that he defeated his own purpose. John became clumsy because he believed what his mother said about him. Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." And this is not only true from negative situations, it's also true about positive situations as well. In 1964, there was a Harvard professor and psychologist named Dr. Robert Rosenthal. And he did this systematic study at an elementary school just outside of San Francisco. And the idea was to figure out what would happen if teachers were told that certain kids in their class were destined to succeed. So Rosenthal took just a normal IQ test, and he dressed it up a little differently. It was really the standardized IQ test, but he changed the cover on it so that it would read, "Harvard Test of Inflected Acquisitions." Very fancy title, right? Rosenthal told the teachers that this very special test from Harvard had the very special ability to predict which kids in their classroom were about to be very special. That is, which kids were about to experience a dramatic growth in their IQ. And after the kids took the test, he chose kids from every class completely at random. There was nothing at all that would distinguish these kids from the other kids in the class. But he told the teachers that this test predicted these kids were on the verge of an intellectual bloom. So what happened is, as he followed these children over the next 2 years, Rosenthal discovered that the teachers' expectations of these children really did affect them. If a teacher had been led to expect greater gains in IQ from a student, then increasingly those kids gained more points in their IQ. Why is that? Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." The mind is a powerful thing. God has created us with a powerful instrument within our bodies. Now, in both of these situations, they demonstrate the power of the mind, right? One in a negative way and one in a positive way. But in both situations, what those children believed about themselves affected who they became. When we think this through, we can start to understand why some motivational speakers make so much money. What you believe about yourself really does matter. If you can turn your thoughts around, you can turn your life around. That's why Scripture tells us in Romans 12:2, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think." Transformation begins by changing the way we think. The truth is, though, that most of us, just like those kids, have an abundance of influences in our lives that have shaped what we believe to be true. True about ourselves, true about our families, true about men, true about women, true about the world, right? And because of all those things, circumstances, pasts, hurts, and even our enemy, we very well might be believing things that are not true. And because of that, we have allowed those things to shape us and direct our life in ways that God never intended. You know, Scripture assures us that God has a wonderful plan for our life. It is abundant, it is prosperous, and it is so, so good. John 10:10 says, "I came," this is Jesus talking, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And Jeremiah 29:11, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope." But sadly, because of the wrong things we've come to accept in our lives as true about ourselves, others, and the world, those falsehoods or those lies have kept us in bondage to the life that God has planned for us. That's why today is all about feeding our mind with God's truth, because the truth has the ability to cut through those lies that we've come to believe. That's why in John 8, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You will be free to live the life God has planned for you, which is good and abundant. Anybody here tired of living as a slave to wrong thinking or to lies in your life? Tired of being held bondage to the things that happened in your childhood and your past, and even from the enemy? Tired of believing things that are not true about yourself, about other people, and about this world? The first step to breaking free is to feed ourselves with God's truth. Now, how often should we be in God's truth? Answer is, all the time, every day. Yes, morning, noon, and night. And since we are going with the word choice of feeding ourselves with God's truth, we're going to compare this to healthy eating habits. You know, doctors say the best way to eat is by eating just a little bit every couple of hours, right? Rather than eating big meals and then going long hours without eating. But to eat constantly, just nibbling throughout the day, it keeps our blood sugars level and all kind of things like that. And the same is true of God's truth. If we are constantly thinking about God's truth throughout the day, we will have healthy minds. Renewed minds, really. So healthy foods, healthy eating habits, healthy body, healthy truth habits, healthy mind. Remember, what we're looking for here is the transformation that comes from Romans 12. I brought with me today a little visual reminder of what that would look like. It's about the amount of time that is available to us within 1 week. There are 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week. I'm going to ask you one here, how many hours is that available to us within 1 week? It's a time for a lot of money. Yeah, 168 hours. Because not on the end of this, that's where this thing starts. And all the way down here.
represents the amount of hours that we have available to us within 1 week. And let's say that we are really studying God's Word, not just a little bit, but we study God's Word for an hour every single day, right? An hour a day. And we don't take any days off. We are in God's Word for 7 days a week for an entire hour a day. This orange screen here represents those 7 hours that we spend in God's Word. And we don't have to say anything. You can already see, hopefully what should be obvious is that the amount of influence in your life of God's Word as compared to the world, not what we need. I mean, we can take it and we can double it. And it's still not what we need, right? We have to make it. Can you give them a hand?
It becomes a little more obvious to us when we look at things like that. Hopefully we should be thinking through our own quiet time right now, but we need to make sure we are in God's Word. We're going to look at a biblical example today of how we should be in God's Word. We're going to look at David. Now you might have heard that David is known as a man after God's own heart. That's what we all want to be, people after God's own heart. It's a great goal for us. So let's look at when David spent time with God, right? What did his quiet time look at? We're going to look at three key verses to show us this. First one is Psalm 119, verse 147. David wrote, "I rise up early before the sun is up, and I cry out for help and put my hope in God's word." Two things I want us to notice about this verse. Number one, David spends time with God first thing in the morning. And number two, that he does it in a couple of different ways. He cries out to God, which means that he prays, right? And he also puts his hope in God's word, which means he either reads it or he recalls it from his memory. But that's how David spends each morning, in prayer and scripture. I don't know where you sit in your own quiet time. Personally, I've been through a couple of different ways. I used to do my quiet time in the morning because I wanted to give God the first fruits of my days, but I am not a morning person. So what would happen is I'd try to find a place to sit down that was the most uncomfortable place I could sit, because if I didn't, then I would fall asleep. Then somebody kind of came along and convinced me, you know, if you want to give God your best, it's okay to give him your best time or your best functioning time, the time when I'm most alert and able to focus on him, which for me at that time was the evening. So I switched my quiet time to the evening. Then along came these two guys, Eli and Sam. They were cute back then, but they didn't let us sleep at all. And so we found that I was not only exhausted in the morning, but I was also exhausted in the evening. So then I had to switch my quiet times to the middle of the day, and I tried to have my lunch with God. And after going through so many different cycles and many different ways of having my quiet time with God, I still see the wisdom of placing my most involved or participatory Bible study in the time of day when I'm going to get the most out of it. But I've also come to learn that we cannot compartmentalize being in God's truth to just one particular time of the day, no matter when it is. Because there are so many ways to be in God's truth. And we need to find different ways or activities that allow us to fill our entire day with God, no matter what it is. You know, it could be prayer in the morning. It could be listening to Christian music that is full of truth. It could be while we're getting ready to go, we're listening to a sermon while we're getting dressed to go to work or on the way to work. Perhaps listening to the Bible on CD or MP3. If you got a smartphone, there are so many different apps now where you can listen to God's word. You can put post-it notes around your house if you're the old-fashioned kind of person. Put post-it notes up. Surround yourself with God's truth. But the idea is that whether we are morning people or not, we should find a way to incorporate God's truth into our mornings in a way that works for us. Next verse from David's life. Same psalm, different verse. "How I love your instructions. I think about them all day long." David thought about God's word, his truth, all day long. See, that's the great thing about starting out your morning with God's word. If we allow it to, right? Remember, the power's in our own minds. If we allow it to, we can let it stay with us all day long. We can think of that verse or that lesson throughout the day. And I know some people that take a biblical truth or a point from the lesson that they studied that morning, they just write it down in a card and they stick it in their pocket. And every time they go to pull out their phone, they pull out that card and it reminds them of a truth that God taught them that morning. You can take your phone and you can program alarms on it so that when it goes off, it brings up a scripture verse. They just have so many ways to be in God's truth. Because, you know, this book, the Bible, it contains over 7,000 different promises in it. 7,000. That means we could dwell on a different promise every day and not repeat a promise for 19 years. 7,000 is a lot. If we want to have our minds renewed, we need to become people of those promises. We need to start learning and thinking and memorizing them so that we spend our entire day dwelling on God's truth. Because when we're not purposeful about what we're thinking about, we all know it's easy to slip into some bad habits, like worrying, like feeling hopeless, sinful thoughts, and even despairing. If when you hear that this morning, if you can identify with that, if you find yourself feeling hopeless, if you find yourself worrying a lot, if you find yourself slipping into sinful thoughts, if you find yourself overwhelmed by what you're doing or not doing, then I'd say you're not spending enough time in God's Word, in His promises. We need to get into His Word and dwell in it because that's what transforms our lives. Remember, you change your mind, you do change your life. So dwelling, thinking, meditating, however we want to describe it, we need to be in that word because it really does have the power to free us and transform our lives. Third verse from David, 16:7, Psalm, I will praise the Lord who guides me. Yes, during the night, I will reflect and learn. Even at night, David thinks and reflects on his daily activities and the lessons that he learned from God. And what a beautiful way to finish each day, you know, to praise God for guiding us through it and reflect on any lessons that we learn throughout the day. Even ask God, point out something to me that I missed today, God. What did I not see that you wanted me to see? Because those quiet moments where you're about to fall asleep, it's just you and God in there. That's all that's there. And that can be a powerful time to allow God's truth to speak to you. So that's how often we should be in His Word, right? Morning, noon, and night, all the time. So that we're no longer holding a little bitty orange string next to the big white one, but so that they are braided together throughout our entire week. Morning, noon, and night. That way God's truth is always with us. Now I know what happens when we start to think about that practically, right? I mean, right now if you run through your different days, what your week looks like, what happens to you, we automatically come up with situations and scenarios where we think it would be impossible, right? Situations that are too stressful, or too busy, or too whatever to think about God, right? Could be work, could be carpooling, could be cooking dinner, picking up the kids, could be school. But again, let's pull an example from David, who incidentally lived a way more stressful life than any of us did. I mean, David spent a large part of his life running for his life. He was running for his life because Saul, the previous king, knew David was going to replace him, and he wanted him dead. Not only did he want him dead, but he had the power to do it. So David was reduced to the life of a fugitive, running, hiding in caves, moving from place to place so that he could escape Saul and the army that was trying to kill him. That's why the guy's looking over his shoulder so much. I doubt if any of us have ever had to experience that kind of stress. So how did he handle that in those stressful times? Psalm 119, verse 95. Though the wicked hide along the way to kill me, I will quietly keep my mind on your laws. Wow. You know, if someone was trying to kill me, I don't think I could keep my mind quietly on anything. Right? Much less God's words. I'd be calling the police. I'd be getting some extra locks. I'd be finding some good hiding places. There are times that I struggle to keep God's word on my mind when I go to the grocery store or when I have a project at the house. And David is confronted with his own death, and his response is to quietly keep himself focused on God's word. Think about the things we do rather than do that. I know there are times when if I'm faced with a stressful situation, I start creating scenarios in my head. Scenarios in my head of what I will say or what I'm going to do, or if this happens, I'll do this, and if she says this, then I'll say that. Imagine if we went to God's truth in those moments rather than going to our own imaginative mind or trying to solve things on our own. That would have transforming power, wouldn't it? David says, I don't care what's going on in my life. I don't care what's going on around me, morning, noon, and night. Good times and in bad, stressful situations or peaceful situations, I will keep my mind on the truth of God's word. It really is the key to living a life of freedom. Feeding our minds with God's truth. Again, it's not that you have to be walking around, right, with your nose in a Bible and not looking up at all. That's not what I mean by constantly being in God's Word. There are so many ways to do that. Right? Just brainstorming. Read scripture. Use your Bible or an app on your phone. Some of them will read it to you. Memorize it. Just take one verse. Start to work on one verse and memorize it. Listen to scripture. Lots of ways to do that. Bible study on your own with a small group. They make books you can do someone else's Bible study. Read Christian authors, nonfiction or fiction, because a lot of those fiction pieces are aimed to get your eyes and your mind turned towards God. Read biblical commentaries, Christian music. Listen to sermons online. Devotionals. Daily Bread's a great devotional. There are a lot of other ones. Find an accountability partner or a prayer partner. We're going to read this every single day. We're just going to text each other. Done. Every day. I read that chapter. Did you read yours? Great. Let's keep going with it. Little reminders and ways to stay in God's truth morning, noon, and night. It does have the power to set us free. It does have the power to transform us if we're willing to use the mind that God has given us. It is a powerful thing. One of the other powerful tools that I didn't write up there would be a retreat like the Great Banquet. Many people in this room have been on the Great Banquet. It's a fantastic opportunity to kind of step away from your daily grind every day and just kind of submerge yourself in God's Word. There are chapels in the morning, and you're listening to talks during the day, and you're just surrounding yourself with God's truth, and people are speaking it into your life. It really does transform lives. I had the privilege and the honor of serving this past weekend. Corey was on team with me, and Lewis was going through the banquet, and I'd like for him to come forward and talk to us a little bit this morning about the effect of surrounding his life with God's truth had on him. Lewis?
The Great Banquet was something I feel that every person in this room, being a man or a woman, should attend. You know, for years I lived out on the streets, and I was always searching for something. And then one day I looked across the street, and I see these signs, Northside Community Church. So I decided to come over here to see what it was about. First person I met was Carrie. But when I walked in that door, I felt something that I was lacking in my life. I felt peace and love. Then a couple weeks later, I met Barb. Barb had such big influence on my life. She made me realize that if you put your hands and your faith in God, that anything is possible. And sometimes we go through life and we doubt things. We doubt ourselves. And not realizing, if we open our hearts, our minds, and our eyes to God, that everything can be beautiful. And then Bucky was telling me about this Great Banquet, Great Chicago Banquet, number 45, Table Job. And I experienced something that I have never experienced in my life. I never thought a bunch of men can come together, even though we didn't know each other, and show our feelings, and show how God has came into their lives, and they shared that with me. And it was so, so fabulous. And I learned from that banquet, I always looked at Corey as the preacher's husband. The guy who sits in back of the choir playing his guitar off. I never realized how much love and understanding he had for God. He talked about family. And after his sermon, I went up to him and I said, you know, I haven't talked to my twin sister in 10 years. But because of what you just spoke about, I was going to get in touch with her. And then Bucky threw a curveball in there. He gave me a letter, a bag with a bunch of letters of encouragement from everybody here in the room. One of the letters really made me laugh because I was reading this letter and I said, I'm trying to figure out who is this, you know? And then there, a little on the bottom it said, Sam's, little Sam's mother. But the first letter I pulled out of that bag was from my twin sister. It just utterly blew me away. I would also like to have the three men that were at my table stand up because they need applause. They encouraged me so much. We don't realize in life how much other people can influence us. And since I've been a part of Northside, it's not just a church, it's family. And I am so proud that everyone here at Northside has accepted me into their family. Thank you.
You know, there is nothing powerful in the great banquet on its own. What gives it its power is the truth of God's word. You know, we as people come alongside each other. And what makes us effective, what makes those three men back there effective, is that they spoke the truth of God's word into his life. Who he is in God's eyes. How much God loves him. And that is such a unique experience. If you haven't had that opportunity, I encourage everyone to take it. It is so wonderful to step away and really submerge yourself in God's truth, morning, noon, and night, right? But even more powerful is when God's word brings conviction, and then we're allowed or we're prompted to take it into our everyday life, like Lewis was. I'm going to take the truth that someone else poured into me, and I'm going to turn around and I'm going to pour it in my sister. God prompted reconciliation through his truth. And now you see a man who's got a little bit more pep in his step. You've got the Spirit of God who's leading him on, and he's committing his life to living in God's truth and living it. That's what we try to do here. That's what we're about. Nothing here at Northside is special on our own. If there is anything at all that makes it special, it is God and it is his word. We meet as real men to do that, to try to speak truth into each other's lives. When we have our women's Bible studies, we do that. We try to speak our truth into each other's lives. We want to be a part of each other's lives on a daily basis, so we learn to speak truth into each other's lives. It is God's word, his truth, that has the power to transform us. And that's what this is all about. You know, next week, Carrie's going to talk about freeing our mind from destructive thoughts. And Scripture tells us that the way we free our minds from destructive thoughts is to take that thought and you compare it to God's word and say, is this true or is it not true? Is that who I am or is this who I am? And of course, we always look to the Creator God because he knows more, right? He knows what is right. He knows what is true. But in order to move forward in that step, we first have to feed our minds with God's truth. I pray that as we move forward this week, that you would pray that the Holy Spirit would just lead you to ways that that can happen. You saw? Put a big list up there. Maybe you've got something else that God is pressing on your heart, just something to do, but we have got to find ways to be people of his worth. It is a powerful thing. It brings transformation, and we praise God for the power that he has given us in our mind to choose his word, that truth, so that we can be transformed into the people and the life that he has created for us. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the way that you have created us. Thank you for our minds that are so wonderfully and intricately made that scientists are still learning new things about it every day. As we take time this month and this week to realize the power that you have given us in our minds, help us to take the time to thank you and praise you for them. Thank you for the example of your servant David. Help us to follow his example of being people after your own heart who feed our minds with your truth morning, noon, and night. There are times, Father God, when it is so difficult to walk that delicate balance, you know, of having humility in our own abilities and having confidence in your abilities to work through us. Help us to have a right understanding of the power you've given us in our minds and how to use that to live the life you have planned for us. As we have seen through the different illustrations this morning, Lord, that little boy with the verbally abusive childhood or the students who were told they're going to have huge IQs, Lord, help us to clearly see how powerful the mind can be, because we want to use that power only for you to speak truth into people's lives so that we can have more transformation, more Lewises, Lord, who are ready to give testimony to what it feels like to be surrounded by your truth and people who are committed to your truth. I pray that through your Holy Spirit you would bring conviction to us. Show us when and where we can bring your truth into our daily lives and the lives of those around us so that we can really be free to live the abundant life you want for us. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.